The real violence is committed in the writing of history, the records of the legal system, the reporting of news, through the manipulation of social contracts and the control of information. This week's opening quote comes from Brian H. McGill. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. History really is what defines people. You know, races are defined by their past, by what has built their nations to be what they are. And history, our own personal history, is how we identify ourselves. And as once said by Marcus Garvey, a man with no history is like a tree with no roots. And when you think about this, it begins to make a lot of sense why the powers that believe they be would have changed our history and removed all knowledge of the past from us. And as I've pointed out on many shows previously, there is every indication that our past is very, very different to what we believe it is. But even when making a statement such as that, there's many people who will think, yes, well, we know there are great mysteries that exist in ancient antiquity. We are unsure of what these monuments really mean and what all these things really mean. But what I'm talking about is not particularly ancient history. What I'm talking about is the recent past, in as much as 200 or 300 years ago. As I've said on many shows previously, you know, all the research that we've done into the existence of the nation of Tartaria, for example, and what that possibly was. And there's been an awful lot of speculation put forth on that topic as well. A lot of people trying to figure out who they really were and where they came from and who destroyed them and all this sort of stuff. A lot of which we will probably never know and never answer unless we can establish freedom. Because the records must exist somewhere. But the thing is, it's very doubtful that such records would exist anywhere in the public domain. Even in some of the weird books we can find, you know, the books of the Zeno brothers and all this sorts of stuff, they only give us little glimpses, they only give us little ideas, and some of the tales that we find in some of these books appear to be quite fanciful. But again, even in looking at these things, we face the danger of getting stuck down a rabbit hole and trying to find answers to questions that we will probably never know. And we often lose sight of the bigger picture of what it all really means on a macro scale. You know, it's not just the point of finding out what this civilization was, who was in control of it, how it was destroyed, and thinking that we've got some sort of remedy by finding this sort of stuff out. The trick, really, I would suggest, is looking at it, as I said, on a macro scale, and simply seeing it as one stage of an ongoing cycle, because that's the way it would appear to be. It would appear that these cataclysms that happen, each time it happens, it's simply a repeating event that seems to happen in regular cycles. And that's the thing, you know, when you look at it, we might be finding evidence for the existence of this great empire of Tartaria, but the question is, how long was it there and what happened to it? Why did it decline and what came before it? And how many came before it is another really interesting question. And what form did these civilizations take? How many have there actually been and who or what were these civilizations populated by? All very interesting questions. But really, the main question that I've been focusing on lately regarding this civilization is, why don't we have any real record of it? Why didn't they leave anything behind? Why is there no written records? How did this civilization suddenly fall into decline so effectively? And how did the civilizations before it fall into decline so effectively? Why do these mysteries exist, is the question. And really, well, what are the possibilities of perhaps these mysteries existing because we're simply not asking the right questions, or with our interpretation of the past and with our interpretation of the books that we do have available to us, we're simply not looking at them through the right eyes? You know, what if this is a cyclic thing that happens quite frequently? And what if there are traces and symbols and messages left behind for us to interpret, if we just, as I said, look at them through the correct eyes and interpret them in the right way? Stop trying to be right in what we're finding out. And this is a huge problem with the resistance and the research that people are doing, is they get an idea and they desperately want to be right in proving this idea. They're not just open to discussion on things. You know, everyone seems to want to be right in whatever it is they're researching. People are literally scared to make mistakes, which is not a very constructive way to look at things. But what if all the signs and symbols and messages are actually left for us? But as I said, we're simply not interpreting them in the correct manner. And of course, one of the big problems through even attempting to interpret what is left behind for us is people get stuck in what they believe to be true. What they want to be true, they get stuck in their programming. People are often programmed to distrust anybody who questions them, anybody who questions them on any type of level at all. You know, you've got this idea and then you present it to people, and if they don't agree with you 100%, then you fear them. You think they're the enemy. And it goes on so many levels. I mean, I notice on my video clips all the time. People just let their programming rule them and they don't actually listen to what's being said. You know, so it's people's interpretation. They get scared of numbers, they get scared of symbols, and they think these things mean a lot more than they do, and they fail to look around them, and they fail to see what's really happening. They fail to come to the realization that the government has got some very, very insidious plans for them, and they're carrying out, but so many people are programmed into looking at all the rabbit holes, and which is why the rabbit holes are there. It's what the symbols are there for, folks. They're there so you will look for them. That's how they control you. And there was actually a show I did about this a year or two ago called How the Magic Works, and I really recommend you go and check that out if you really want to know how these symbols and how all this symbolism works and what it's really there for. Because what it's there for is to grab your attention and to keep you searching for it. That's how it works. And while you're looking at all these secret symbols and putting all these interpretations on them, people are, again, failing to look around them at the real symbols and the real things that are around them in their lives, their daily actions that they perform. How ritualistic are these actions? And what are they really doing with these actions when they're performing these actions? And what are the real symbols and signs? And what are the clues that have been left behind for us to help us become aware of what we're moving into, to help us become aware of the reality that we're in now? Because so many people have predicted this reality. I mean, even I've predicted this reality since I was a kid. I've been telling people this is where the world is going. And there were people before me, many people that have come before me, and there's people from ages past have predicted these things as well, but how did they know? I mean, even when I was 4 years old and I realized there was something terribly wrong with the world and I used to walk around asking my teddy bear to please tell God that he'd put me onto the wrong world, to me, it was like a memory. I had a memory of a world that was a different world to this. I just knew the world was not supposed to be that way. And this also suggests some form of cataclysms, regular cataclysms, and some form of recycling of human consciousness. As out there as it sounds, I mean, that's kind of what it suggests to me. And if you were in a cycle like this, like if we're in a world today and you could see a cataclysm coming, and you could remember that there were human culls that had happened, perhaps you'd survived one of those culls, and you'd seen it happening, and you wanted to tell the people of the future that, hey, this is going to happen again. This is a regular cycle. They keep building the population up, and then they cull the population back to almost zero, and then they start again. How would you warn these people that these cycles are happening? How would you warn them that there were people in control that were manufacturing these cycles or using these cycles to their advantage anyway? Even if they're not manufacturing them, they're using them to their advantage. How would you inform people of this? What signs would you leave behind for future generations? And what would you tell these generations to watch out for so they would see that these cycles were happening? And it'd be a very difficult thing to imagine how to do it. Because even with languages, folks, I mean, you could write a written record of what's going on, but if you write it in English, well, who's to say that anybody in 500 or 600 years from now is going to be speaking English? How do we know? How do we know that a new language won't be invented for that new time the way English seems to have been invented for this time? So you look at this and you see there's no point in really writing things down in language form. What you'd have to do would be leave signs, symbols, pictograms, drawings, myths, and oral traditions. This would be the way real information would be handed down, because the written word is simply not going to last. And if it does last, it's going to be very difficult to interpret by people who come after. And that might have been a strange thing to think about as well. I think the concept that English may have been invented for this particular time period. I mean, you know, there'll be people who say, well, we can trace back English to the Germanic languages and rah, 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 you know. But I don't know, I question all history now, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. And English is such a commerce-based language. And even if we were to trace it back to Germanic languages and the real roots of English and all this sort of stuff, we're failing to take into account the Shakespearean Revolution. I mean, what was that? The Shakespearean Revolution was where they introduced a whole bunch of new words and they left out a whole bunch of old words, and they kind of changed the direction of English. And you've got to wonder what that was really all about. I mean, I don't believe in the whole story of Shakespeare and this unemployed playwright actually doing all these things that he did. I think the entire Shakespearean concept was very likely created by the Bacon Society. And if you really want to look at that, Francis Bacon, you could call the real founder of America, really, because the Bacon Society was highly influential in what America became. So this is another story. But I don't know, I just think that English is a very strange language. It's a very disconnecting language. There's no real spiritual concepts in English. It's the language of commerce, the language of legalese. And I think this is why it's been pushed and promoted, so that if you really want to succeed in the world of commerce in the modern world, you need to know how to speak English. And, you know, like, this is another story, but the concept that these languages are invented, or a particular language is invented for a particular time, perhaps English is the one that's been used over and over, who knows? Perhaps because it is that type of language which keeps you searching for some of the deeper meanings of life, because there simply aren't the words in English to express these deeper meanings. Perhaps that's what it's used for. Perhaps it's used every time. Perhaps they just keep refining it and making it more and more debased with each cycle. I mean, who knows? It's another concept to think about. But anyway, looking into some of the concepts that we have about our past and some of the myths and legends that have been left to us, looking at the foundations of religions and witchcraft and all sorts of things like this, and people may be uncomfortable with me talking about that, putting them in the same basket, but I find a lot of parallels with these things, I really do. As I've mentioned before on other shows, there was a show I did a year or two ago called Giving Life to Lucifer, where I talked about this. I talked about what cell phones really are, the concept of scrying mirrors, and what all this really means, you know, what the Lucifer system is, what Lucifer actually means. If you look at Lucifer, if you break the word down, you know, the concept of Lucifer being the bearer of light, and what is light? Light is information, and when you break down the word Lucifer, you get Lucas, which is light, and cipher, which is code. So the code that bears the light, the code that bears the information, which is the internet, of course. And we need to look at the internet and see what the internet really is doing to our society. You know, it's giving us all sorts of information, and it's giving us this massive interconnectivity. But what else is it doing for society? Is it doing good things, or is it doing bad things? And really, it all depends on how you look at it. But in order to really analyze what is actually going on with the internet and our relationship to the internet, again, you need to step back and look at things on a macro scale. You need to look at the bigger picture with all of this. And even in saying that, I mean, really, it isn't just the internet. It's computers themselves. You know, what are we doing to ourselves, and what are we doing to our connection to reality by using computers for everything we do rather than using our hands and doing things that way? Everything we do now, we do in a virtual world. I mean, here I am recording this radio show on a virtual recording program. I mean, it looks like a recording studio, but it's not. It just exists on my computer screen. You know, it's got all the stuff there. I can pull up a mixer. It looks like a mixer. I've got patches and syncs and things I can create in it, like any type of recording studio you would have. I can have an effects rack. I can do all the things that I can do if I were to go to a real studio. But again, it doesn't exist. It's just here in the virtual world. It's not something I'm actually using my hands for. The only part of my hands I'm actually using for it is when I click the mouse. And it's like this with so many things, folks. You know, things are being removed from us and they're being replaced. Just normal everyday skills are being removed from us and they're being replaced. Education has certainly been replaced with whatever it is that we call it today, this indoctrination that people receive. And even if they do want to learn some particular skill, they can go to university for higher education, or they can do an apprenticeship for that education. But in that environment, they will only ever learn one skill. They'll never learn all the skills they need to survive in life. Skills that everybody used to have, and common things that people simply used to take for granted. Just things that we would learn how to do because, well, you need to learn how to look after yourself because that's what life's about. But we don't do that anymore. We get looked after by the system. But is it really being looked after, or is it a case of forced dependency? And that's something that people seriously need to look at, folks, because when you are dependent upon something for your survival, then you are completely disempowered and you are at the whim of whatever that thing is. And generally, that's the way people are in the world today, because there are many people in the world today who simply would not know how to survive without the city and without the system being there. And there is so much of this dependency that's been created in the world today, and it happens on so many levels. Many people find it very difficult to read maps these days and to find their way around their own cities without their GPS giving them directions. It's a place that they live in, but they don't know how to actually navigate and get around by themselves, and they don't even attempt to think about it because they don't have to think about it, because their GPS will do it for them. Many people don't know how to grow their own food anymore, because they can always just go to a supermarket and buy it. They don't know how to actually hunt or gather or even grow vegetables for themselves in a garden. Many don't even know how to make a garden because it isn't necessary for them to in these cities that they live in. Many people don't write anymore. They type. And even when they type and they send messages to each other, they don't really need to even know how to spell anymore because they have autocorrect and spell checkers that will do that for them. So they don't have to think about that. So they don't have to remember how to write their language. They don't have to remember how to spell their language. They've got computers to do that for them. What happens when they need to write something when they don't have a computer? What happens if they're in a situation, you know, look, maybe a generation down the track, maybe 20 or 30 years from now, if there was to be some sort of an event, a cataclysm, or even simply if the power were to go out and someone needed to write a message to somebody else, how would they be able to do that if they don't have the skill to pick up a pen and write down a message and they don't even know how to spell the words that they're using? Perhaps they don't even know how to write because it's something that they've never done before. They may have seen the letters on the screen and been able to understand them, but being able to draw them in a coherent way that someone else will be able to read them is an entirely different thing. And as I said, folks, it's on so many levels. What happens when a person needs to find their way around somewhere and they don't have a GPS because the power's down? What happens when they need some food but the supermarkets don't have any? The thing is, most people just don't have the basic life skills to do anything anymore. The education system simply hasn't provided them with these things. And the education system itself has changed into a system of systematic child abuse. That's really what it is. Psychological abuse of children and the molding of children's minds and teaching them to be something that they're not. In fact, the education system seems to be geared more towards depopulation than anything else, and I think one of the most constructive things people could do for their children and for the future of the world would be to remove your children from the government-run education system and to create your own education system for these children. If the government legislature can't do that, then sack the government because they have no right to make any claims like this at all. Now, we've got to realize what these people are, folks. These are people we employ to manage infrastructure, and at the moment, it's basically a criminal gang, and you don't have to do what they say, folks. What you need to do is grow a backbone and tell them to go take a hike and take control of your own lives again. I mean, that's what we all need to do. The forced destruction and dismantling of a child's natural sexuality seems to be very much on the agenda with schools now. In Canada, for example, they're forcing children from grade 1 up to grade 12 to participate in diversity training lectures. Now think about that one, diversity training, not being educated in diversity, but being trained in diversity. So they're kind of telling you what they're doing there. And this is happening without the express permission or prior knowledge of the parents. During these presentations, they show genitalia to primary, elementary, and high school students, with many of the presenters making claims such as, "I don't have to be a boy to be your boyfriend." So again, we see the destruction of the male and the repression of the male. Of course, this is what happens when you elect a brain-dead, moronic little child, such as Justin Trudeau, as the Prime Minister of the country. I mean, this guy seriously needs to go back to school and learn how to communicate with adults. And there are also some provinces in Canada that have actually taken the position where they will press charges against parents who do not allow their children the right, they say, to choose their sex or affiliation. And they will charge these parents with child abuse. And these are kids that are too young to even know what sex is, ladies and gentlemen. You know, but you get these kids and you train them to think any way you want, and you can get any kid to play pretend. I mean, it's make-believe. They enjoy these sorts of things. They give girls pretty things and pretty dolls, the stuff that the boys don't get. And, of course, the boys are going to want the same things because they think it's cool to have them and they don't know any different. And this is the way they're being programmed. So children are literally being programmed into being homosexual by the education system. And they're doing it claiming it's about tolerance. And it's not about tolerance, folks. This is child abuse. This is psychological child abuse being manufactured by government and forced upon schools, forced upon parents. And any parents who complain about it are actually oppressed and called abusers and bigots and racists. And of course, this has nothing to do with race. But this is the situation that we are in today, folks. I mean, a child needs to be 18 years old before you're allowed to get a tattoo or you're allowed to drink. And yet you are allowed to undergo sexual mutation and change your gender as young as 5 years old. 5 years old. This is before you've got any concept of what sexuality is. And they're saying that children have the right to choose what gender they want to be at that age. And if you look at a lot of transsexual people now, people that have undergone sex changes, and they've got to a point where now they're grown up, they're saying, I really regret what I did. And yet this is being promoted to children too young to know what they're doing simply by providing them with bright toys to play with. And of course, the children are going to go for the brighter toys. And if the girls are getting brighter toys than the boys, then the boys are going to want to be girls so they can get the same toys, because it's about pretend, it's about make-believe, and that's what children do. And really the scary part about this is that there's actually teachers in the schools that are teaching this to the children, and they're not complaining about it. And they're not informing the parents about it. And they're just saying, oh, well, I have to do it because I'm told to do so. What sort of brain-dead morons are these that are actually doing this and just saying, well, I must comply because I'm told to? And this is a teacher. This is someone who hasn't even got the ability to be able to think clearly or stand up for themselves, and they're teaching children. These people have no right to even be in the position of a teacher if this is what they're doing. I mean, anybody who is in questioning this has no right to be a teacher. But this is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. And this is not education. This is systematic child abuse by government. And any politician that is supporting this needs to be lynched, needs to be removed from office, taken out the back of the building and hung, ladies and gentlemen. All of these politicians that are supporting this all around the world are toxic, child-abusing morons who should be removed from office. I'd like to get, I've said so many times, folks, you want to save the world, let's get every politician on this earth, let's put them all on Christmas Island, we'll give them all a hammer, and they can have their war. Because everything that is wrong with the world today is manufactured by politicians. When are we going to stop supporting this criminal cabal masquerading as governments in all of our countries? Because it's getting beyond a joke, ladies and gentlemen, it really is. We've got an election in Australia this month. You want to make a difference, folks? Don't go. Don't vote for any of these criminals. Just don't support these people. If you support government, you support organised crime. It's as simple as that. And if you vote for government, all you're doing is voting in a new CEO for the criminal cabal that is destroying your country and destroying your children. You're just approving of all this. That's what voting is. Government, folks. Government will be the death of mankind. It really will. I mean, we've just got to look at the actions of Blonald Flump. I mean, look at what this guy is doing now, posturing against Iran, sending bombers over there because Iran is such a threat to the world because it hasn't attacked anyone in 270 years, while America has been waging constant war around the world for almost 80 years now. 80 years of constant war from the United States of terminal apathy that is America and from the rogue terrorist state of Israel, almost 80 years of constant war and bloodshed in the name of creating peace and freedom around the world. When are the people going to decide they've had enough? And when are people going to stop believing that someone like Tronald Blump is going to save the world when he isn't? I mean, Gronald Lump is little more than Jared Kushner's sock puppet, and it's about time people realize that. I mean, how anyone could support the state of Israel is beyond all rhyme or reason. There was an interview I saw the other day, a man asking an Israeli government minister why they shot and killed so many protesters on the Palestinian border, on the Gaza border, and her response was, because we can't fit them all in jail. That is typical psychopathic Zionist logic for you folks. We murder them because we can't fit them all in jail. This is what Israel is. How anyone could support this terrorist child-abusing culture is literally beyond rhyme or reason. But this is the rhetoric that Gronald Blump sprouts because he is a Zionist sock puppet. the amount of destruction in Yemen, the amount of destruction we've seen across the Middle East, with the full 100% support of this terminally stupid intellectual midget, is absolutely shocking. And now he wants to start another war? I mean, Trump, go drown yourself. Do the world a favor and go put your head in a toilet and just keep flushing until you don't lift your head up. That would be a wonderful thing to do. You know, another war, we don't need another war, and we don't need another president that's going to just be manufacturing these wars and supporting the terrorism of Israel the way you are doing. Why don't you just go and grow a brain or something, learn how to think properly, just do a course on becoming human or something, or just remove yourself from the race, because we don't need you here. We don't want you here, and we don't require you. You're not doing anything good. All you're doing is shitting on the world the way all your predecessors have done, and perhaps you need to shit on yourself for a while. Go shit in your own bed and stop shitting in ours. Politicians, folks, brain-dead morons, the bane of the human race, and excuse my temper, but these people honestly get my blood up, and I find it enormously frustrating that people can't see the forest for the trees when looking at these criminals. Why anyone would trust a politician, why anyone would believe any politician is going to do anything good, is seriously beyond me. Now, we're facing some really serious situations in the world today. We really are. Now, as you can see, the education system gets me a little irate. I really don't like child abuse, and that's what I see this education system as being. But this is the state that we're in, and looking at it, folks, it becomes obvious that there is no remedy to be found in politics. I mean, like, we've been waging war for 80 years, like I said. We got any remedy from politics on this matter so far? No, of course we haven't, because these are the ones who are starting all these wars. Now, the only way we're ever going to get out of this situation is for people to stand up for themselves. And that's only going to happen if people remember who and what they are, which is why I do these radio shows. That's why I've just encourage people to ask questions. I don't provide you with answers on the shows. I mean, it doesn't matter what I believe things are. It doesn't matter what I think the answers might be. What matters is that the people out there listening learn how to think again. Now, the really important part is actually asking the questions to begin with. The problem is that people just don't question anything. That's why the world is in the state that it's in. People just blindly believe. People just blindly accept what they're given. The government says, oh, you must do this now. And they go, oh, gee, okay, I don't really want to, but if you say so, I will. And so the world continues to deteriorate. And it's not going to change. Nothing's going to change from politics. It doesn't matter if you even create a political party and get in there. If you create a political party and enter politics and go into government with anything in mind other than completely undermining and pulling the system down so it doesn't exist anymore, then you're just going to end up being part of the problem, and it's not going to solve anything, because we don't need government. Government is the source of all of our problems. And it's about time people realize it. You know, it's government that is bringing about this whole smart social crediting system and everything that is being introduced to lock us down. It is government that has introduced the legislation that is removing us of all of our life skills to begin with and creating this dependency upon the system. It's government that's doing the whole thing, folks. And again, it's because we've lost touch of ourselves. And that is the problem. But anyway, I think we've reached break time here, folks. So thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Sorry about my angry rant there, but well, like I said, it does get to me. But we'll take a break now, and I'll be back to speak to you in a few minutes. Don't go away, because I've got plenty more to come. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So getting back to the loss of life skills and the loss of services and the loss of things that are part of our everyday lives that this smart grid is becoming, because that's what it is. It's basically taking stuff away from us. You're seeing cash gradually getting phased out as well. I shop in cash all the time, folks. I never shopped with a card. I've never bought anything with a card. I always go to an ATM. I draw cash out and I shop with that. I usually draw out $50 notes, but I've noticed for the last 2 weeks when I've gone to draw any money out of a machine, I've only been able to get $20 notes. It seems like 50s are being removed from the machines because they want to make it inconvenient for you to go and get something like $1,000 out of a machine. You can't do that if you're going to be carrying around 50 notes in your wallet. It's just inconvenient. So they want you to see it as something inconvenient and to move towards shopping with a card so they can introduce their whole social crediting system to go with it. And then removing all of these sorts of things from our lives, folks. as I was seeing in a report recently, they're saying that in a very few years, they will not even have landlines hooked up to houses because everyone will be using cell phones, everyone will be using the internet, everyone will be using Siri or Alexa for communication and for shopping, and so you won't need a landline. But again, what happens if there's an event? What happens if there's some form of cataclysm or just something happens? What happens if the power goes out and you can't call anybody because you don't have any landlines anymore? You have no communication. You have no way of knowing what's actually going on. What happens if you get down on social credit scores and you get locked out of the system and you have no way of alerting people to the fact that you're locked out of your accounts, that you're locked out of your life? All you can do is wander around the street and hope to run into somebody. And if you do run into somebody, chances are they won't want to talk to you anyway because your social credit points are low. And chances are you'll get picked up by a surveillance camera anyway. And they'll say, well, here's an undesirable. Look how low he is on his social credit points. Obviously, we've locked his accounts. We've locked his access to the internet. We've locked his ability to use his car or to access his house. So obviously, he's going to end up as a problem. So we might as well pick him up now and put him into the smart prison system. And how would you ever alert people to the fact that this is happening to you? You simply won't have the means to do so because all of these services are being removed from people right under their noses and they're becoming completely dependent upon the internet for all their communication. I mean, if you need to make a phone call and you haven't got a smartphone, go and see how easy it is to find a public phone box anywhere these days. And what do you think that's really about? Now, we're being led into a smart system, and we're going to be completely dependent upon this smart system, and our dependency is going to be determined on how well we behave according to government guidelines. Think about it. Look at what these governments are doing. Look at how child abuse is now part and parcel with the education system, and really think about it. What's going to happen if you criticize government? Suddenly you can't access your house or do anything simply because you've questioned what these people are teaching your children at school? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think about where we're being led. This is not a good move, folks. This is not a very intelligent thing for people to be doing, to be allowing their lives to be pushed in this direction where it is all about total control and total surveillance and total obedience to a higher authority, which claims to be that authority, when it is this same authority that is waging war and destroying human rights all over the world and abusing our children with this education system, poisoning with all these foods and vaccines and all the stuff they're doing. These people, folks, are the ones that are saying that you must kowtow to them and obey them in everything they do, and that is not what we elect governments to do. That is the problem. And the only way we're going to get through this is if people wake up to what is happening and stand up and do something about it now. Throw away your smartphone, folks. Throw away this smart system. Disconnect yourself from the smart system. Don't use self-service machines in shops. Don't shop at shops that don't accept cash. Don't shop with credit cards and stop complying with your own slavery, because very soon you're not going to have a choice. Very soon we're going to be in a system that will be almost impossible to escape from simply because we didn't pay attention at the times we should have. People were too busy with their heads down rabbit holes. They were too busy arguing about the shape of the earth or trying to discover who eliminated our history. I mean, we know it's changed. That's all we need to know, folks. We know that our history is a lie. What happened, we will never know until we establish freedom. Doesn't matter what theories anybody puts forth. You're putting the cart before the horse. We need to realize that these mysteries exist. All of these problems exist because we are not free. And many people can see that now. You know, we've got the internet, we've got all of these tools at our disposal here. If we could just get some unity and some focus on freedom, then we could establish some freedom. You know, like I said earlier, stop wanting to be right in everything that you're looking at. It doesn't matter who's right. What matters is that we establish freedom. So then we won't have to argue about things. The truth will reveal itself because we'll actually have access to our lives again, which we don't have at the moment. You know, we kept running on a treadmill thinking that all this stuff we do actually means something when it doesn't. We go to these works and work these jobs that we hate, doing things that we don't want to do that are completely unnecessary for the survival of the species anyway, completely unnecessary for the survival of our lives. The only thing that makes it necessary is because we have to pay to be alive. So we've got to do anything we can to go and collect those credits so that we can buy the food that is around us in abundance if we would just pay attention to the earth. But we're so disconnected from the earth and we're stuck into these cities and we're stuck into this state of dependency. So all we do is continue to foster that. And it's ridiculous, folks. Now, if we were to step back and just really look at things on a larger scale, I mean, this whole situation is so stupid. It is so toxic and it is so contrived that just, I don't know, it frustrates me that people can't see it. It really does. But we're at a turning point. We're at a really, really crucial time, folks. I mean, I've been screaming out this message on air for 10 years. I've been screaming out this message for my whole life for the last 40 years. But I've been doing it pretty solidly on air for the last 10 because it's imperative that people see what's coming. And it's getting to the point now where the door is swinging shut very, very rapidly. It's happening in all our countries and it's coming to a country near you. If it isn't there yet, then it's coming. That's the issue. And the only thing that can stop it is public awareness. You know, we've got to get some focus on what is really going on and stop arguing about all these rabbit holes we've got our heads down. Stop allowing ourselves to be distracted and focus on some of the real details and the real issues that we have here, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. You know, we just don't get focus on the real issues and we lose so many opportunities. This is what frustrated the living hell out of me with Christchurch. You know, the fake brigade out there distracting people when the video shows the government was corrupt. It shows the government did it and we could have used that to bring down the New Zealand government and expose all world governments for the crimes that they commit. But no, the fake brigade wanted to shift focus and turn it into a spy novel version of the truth where people just sit there eating popcorn waiting for the next installment and waiting to be saved. And it's ridiculous. We need to get some focus. We just don't get any focus on the real issues. And most of the people in the truth movement are just setting themselves up as gurus. No one really wants to go out there and get active. They just want to have their listener base online. You know, they should go out there in the real world and get active. That's what I do, folks. I get out and I get as active as I can trying to change things. And that's the way we're going to make a difference, not by just sitting here and postulating on what our opinion is and arguing over how we are right on everything that we think. You know, we lose these opportunities such as we did with Christchurch, which is just disappearing now into the memory hole. You know, and here's an event that we had extra workers there. We even got a car registration number that we could have used, but nobody wanted to focus on it. And so we lost that opportunity, as we've lost so many others. You know, and we lose them all because everyone just wants to be right on whatever they're speculating. They get these things and they postulate and then they argue with anyone who disagrees with them. And that's not the issue. That's not what it's about. It doesn't matter who's right. The issue is freedom. Freedom for all people. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what race, what culture, what creed, what religion. You know, your situation has been contrived for you. Your government's corrupt. Doesn't matter where you come from. Your government's corrupt because just the fact that it's there indicates it's corrupt because we don't need these people. You know, and everybody is programmed into the mentality that they have. That's the problem. You know, the incredible amount of programming that we see in the world. Even with the Israeli-Palestinian situation, I mean, I'm always outspoken against Israel. I have been for years and years and years. But even in saying that, I can appreciate that the people in Israel that are carrying out all these atrocities against the Palestinian people are doing so because they're programmed to do so. They believe this ridiculous doctrine that's been taught to them. They believe all of this ridiculous religious rubbish and all of this fake history that's been taught to them. And so they use it to go out and kill other people because they think they're supposed to, because that's the way they're taught to think. And it's the same with everybody. All these people are programmed into what they do by the psychopaths and criminals masquerading as government in all of our countries. And look what they're doing now with the children. They're being programmed into being homosexual, even if they're not, just through playing pretend at school. This is how bad it's becoming, folks. And really, what it's all about, like I said, it's about depopulation because homosexual people don't breed. Transgender people don't breed. You look at the vaccines, what this is doing, creating autistic people, they rarely breed. You look at the sperm count dropping. You look at the testosterone levels dropping. You look at the estrogen levels rising in everybody. You look at the amount of cancers that are happening. The earth is being depopulated, and our governments are doing it deliberately. And anybody who tries to speak out against it gets called a terrorist or a child abuser or someone who's being politically incorrect or someone who's a racist or a bigot or whatever. No, folks, it's just people who can think clearly and people who don't appreciate these psychotic criminals attempting to destroy the world the way they're doing. But people just won't call it, and that's why it continues. People think they need to be politically correct. They need to not upset anybody. No, folks, you do need to upset people. Just get out there and make your voice heard and go and upset these politicians because they need to be upset. They need to know that we know what they're up to and we're not going to stand for it anymore. You know, the whole world needs to put on yellow vests and tell the government to go take a jump off a cliff somewhere. That's what needs to happen, folks. Everyone needs to withdraw support from these people. If you're a government worker, quit. If you're a police officer, quit. If you're in the army or in the military, quit. Don't ever get a job in the military. You're not going out there to protect your country. You're going out there to murder other sons and daughters from other countries at the behest of the psychopaths that are running your country because they've tricked you into believing that these people are a threat to you when they're not. All these people who sit there thinking, oh, another country is going to come and invade us. It's not another country, folks. It's another government. And if your government wasn't there and that government wasn't there, then you wouldn't have a problem. All you people would get on well together the way I always did for years. Now, the whole situation we've got is contrived by governments, folks, and we need to withdraw support from these people en masse, and we need to do it as quickly as possible. And don't be afraid to call them what they are. Stop kowtowing and worshipping these people. Stop walking around and living your life in a state of Stockholm syndrome and stop believing government or politicians are your friends. They're not. They are psychopaths who are stealing from you, stealing from the entire world, destroying as much of the world and destroying as much of the human race as they can while they're at it. And we do not need these people and we should not be supporting these people. We shouldn't even be nice to these people. We should just call them for what they are. Ask the right questions to them. Ask them to explain their actions or go live on Christmas Island. You know, the only way we're going to get any solution from the political arena at all is if we remove every politician that is currently populating that arena and replace them with people of integrity and people who are actually going to start moving the world in a positive direction. Now, people who are leaders should have the ability to lead, and this current crop of psychopaths are only good at leading themselves and leading all of our money into their bank accounts and leading the world into chaos and a living hell on earth. That's all these people are leading us to. They're not leaders at all, folks. They are criminals, the lot of them. You know, and we're being set up. We really are. Yeah, and when you really look at the cities and you look at the total dependence people in cities have upon the system, and you look how easy it would be to remove the support from these people and simply allow the whole place to turn to chaos, we're being set up. And couple this with 5G, couple this with everything that they can do with 5G, whether they're going to use it for mind control, whether they're going to use it to simply induce cancer in people, whether they're going to use it for active denial, all of the possibilities of this, this is all stuff that we don't need. And this whole thing is the Lucifer system itself. You know, and the warnings that we got of what the scrying mirrors really are, what to expect when we see the scrying mirrors in use, once we see these sigils in place, and all of these sigils are electronic circuitry, folks. When we see this electronic circuitry in place and we see these scrying mirrors come into life, we are about to bring this whole Lucifer system online, and it is the most evil thing that we ever experience. It is something that completely controls our lives and leads us into the darkest place of the human experience that was ever to be and will ever be. That's where we're being led, simply by our unwillingness to call it for what it is, and our belief that if we simply keep our heads down, we'll be okay. If we just do what we're told, we'll be okay. Well, maybe we will for a little while. Maybe you'll be okay, but what will your children be like? What will the world be like for the children that are growing up into this psychotic mess that these parasites are creating around us? And that's what they are, folks. Politicians are parasites. No one who wants the job of leader deserves to have that job. Because no one of integrity, no one of sanity would really want to lead a country. No one would want to be in a position where they're controlling other people's lives. And even the people that asked me to run for politics, I mean, I don't want to run the country. This is the last thing I would ever want to do with my life, is to be in control of other people's lives and to try to be some type of a leader to a human race which is so disconnected from itself that they don't even know themselves, that they actually believe they need leaders to begin with. That's the problem, folks. The problem that people even think they need leaders and that they're not prepared to lead themselves. The problem that they just don't know themselves and they don't respect themselves enough to respect other people. You know, what we could do if we would just respect the people around us and treat the people around us in Lakesh as ourselves, we could change the world in a single day. You know, this is something else that really frustrates me. It really does. But you look at this, folks, and look at what the world could be. Look at what the world was. I mean, even when you're looking at all of this stuff with Tartaria and all the ancient cultures that we had and the free energy and all the things we did, I mean, this was fantastic what we had. And it's very obvious the world was very, very different to what it is now. But like I said, even going down and looking at this and thinking, well, gee, what happened to them? Who destroyed them? Was it the Khazarians? Was it this? Was it the war with Russia and Napoleon? Was it the Phoenicians? Was it the Egyptians? Was it whoever? We don't know, folks, and we will never know. We can sit there and argue about it all we want. We will never know until we establish freedom. Now, while we're arguing about all of this stuff, this whole smart grid's rolling out, and in another 18 months to 2 years, we're not going to have anywhere to go. We're not going to have any way to roll it back. We're going to be too far gone. We're almost getting to that point now. And it's so imperative that people out there in the independent media and the so-called truth movement get some focus on what is happening right now, right under our noses, ladies and gentlemen. Stop thinking anybody who doesn't agree with you about everything is your enemy. Stop arguing about all these details. Stop focusing on all these rabbit holes and pay attention to your surroundings. It's imperative that you do. You know, the analogy that I've used so many times before is that we're looking at this system and we're seeing it as this terrible thing that is approaching, and it's like we are locked in a house and we see what is happening outside and we are barricading the doors and barricading the windows against all these packs of dogs and psychotic zombies that are outside our house trying to get in. And we think that we're going to be safe if we keep ourselves in this little bubble, and all the while that we've been doing it, we've never noticed the lice that are crawling across the floor. And by the time we do notice them, the lice have already taken hold, and then it's too late, because it was always about the lice. The dogs and the zombies were only there to distract you from what was happening right beneath your feet. And that's really the situation that we're in, folks, and it's just imperative that people pay attention. It really is. You know, we're being set up, and it's not just us that are being set up, it's the future generations that are being set up, and it's the future generations that are going to suffer due to our failure to pay attention and our failure to get motivated and focus on the real opportunities that this information brings to us. It's imperative that we do this, ladies and gentlemen. If we're going to have any future at all, it's imperative that we pay attention. But now I think we are actually getting pretty close to the end of this show. Sorry it's been such a rant today, but we really do have a lot of stuff to deal with, folks. We've got a lot of stuff coming down the pike, and it's imperative that people pay attention. And to actually shift from all of that and to add something a little bit positive to the show at the end of the show here, I'd like to send out a special message to Warwick and Marianne Payne, who are celebrating their 5th anniversary this month. I'd like to send them special love and special hugs from me in the Crow House, and I sincerely hope that you both have a truly wonderful anniversary. A very special day, so do enjoy. And just to give everybody a little update on my situation as well, as I mentioned last week, ever since my reporting on the Christchurch shooting, my channel has been getting hit very, very hard by censorship. It's been shadow banned on all sorts of platforms. A lot of people are not getting alerted to the fact that my videos are being uploaded. I actually received emails from people asking me why I hadn't uploaded a show for the last 2 weeks. And actually, folks, the last two shows that I uploaded, one was called Censorship, the First Action of a Criminal Government, and the second one was called 5G, the Weaponization of the Airways. These are two quite important shows, probably two of the most important shows I've done in recent times. So I would suggest that if you missed those shows, you go back and check them out. But this has been happening a lot. People are simply not getting alerted to my uploads. An enormous amount of people are having difficulty downloading my podcasts. There was a message that was sent to me by someone that apparently it's due to an overload of traffic or something. I mean, I don't really know what they're meaning by this, but that's what they're saying anyway. And there's been all sorts of trouble I've been having. They're really trying to shut me down by the look of things, folks. Interesting, you know, they put a strike against my channel a couple of months ago, and they stopped me from uploading for 3 months, they said, but then they allowed me to upload again after 2 weeks. But then, for the last 2 weeks, it's been 2 weeks now, 15 days now, and I have not been able to access any menus on YouTube. If I click the upload video button, it just sits there and does nothing. If I click my icon over on the right-hand side and wait for the menu to load, it just never loads. If I go to embed one of my video clips, you know, I upload a radio show and I go to embed the video clip on my website, I can't load the embed menu to get the embed code. The only way I can get to my channel is I have to log on to YouTube, then I have to click my history, go through my history and find one of my own video clips, go to that video clip, then click the Crow House beneath the video clip. That will take me to my channel. and then none of the menus work on my channel. I have to click customize channel, and then I have to go through that page and click video manager and go into the YouTube video manager before the upload link will work. That is the only page I can get an upload menu on. And if I want to embed the video I've just uploaded to the Crow House, I have to log on to the AOD Scarecrow channel and then go find the Crow House video and copy the embed code from a different browser. That's the way it works. And it doesn't matter which browser I use to log on to my Crow House channel. I can use Firefox, I can use Chrome, I can use Edge, I can use Internet Explorer on my old computer. It still doesn't matter. The menus will not load, no matter what direction I take to get in there, and no matter what I do. So they've kind of given me access to the channel again, not a problem. They've just made it incredibly difficult for me to do anything. And as I said, it's been that way for 15 days now, so I'm wondering whether it's going to improve or whether I should just forget about YouTube altogether. I mean, I am looking for other platforms. I need to find something reliable that I can upload to. But if you are coming to my channel, folks, if you are watching this video clip, please be aware of all this and do come and check your subscription quite often, because many people have been deleted from my subscriber list again. I've noticed this happening, and I'm getting an enormous amount of emails from people regarding this as well, saying, Max, I've been deleted from your channel. I just wanted to let you know. So if you are someone who likes my channel and likes the video clips, do check your subscription on the channel. And if you like the video that you're watching, please do click the upvote, because you'll find that if you don't, YouTube will probably click a downvote on your behalf. It often does that on my clips as well. And again, check the bell notification button. Make sure it's checked. You might find you've got to click it a few times before it will allow you to receive notifications, as again has been happening to my channel for many people. So this is all the stuff you've got to go through if you want to upload to YouTube, and it's all the stuff you've got to go through if you want to maintain contact with me or be aware of when I'm uploading things. It's just the way YouTube is doing it, folks. They've given me access again, like I said, but they've made it very, very difficult for me to actually be able to do anything. And even when I comment on my video clips, I mean, I can post a comment and as a response to someone, and often it just instantly disappears, and I've got to make the comment three or four times before it will actually hold and sit there as a comment. So interesting stuff, folks, and there's definitely some eyeballs watching my channel at the moment. And it would seem that they're just making it so difficult for me, because they would very much like me to just forget about it and go away. But, well, I don't plan on doing that anytime soon. But even, as I said, folks, I am looking for another platform to be able to upload to anyway. I mean, I'll continue to upload to BitChute, but that does happen automatically as soon as I upload to YouTube anyway. The problem is that it takes me like 12 hours to upload a video clip here in Australia, because I have the world's worst internet. I can literally get faster speeds when I'm in the Amazon jungle using a $6 router connected to the wireless tower with chicken wire than I can by plugging a cable into the wall and functioning on ADSL here in Australia. As I said, folks, 12 and a half hours to upload a 1 hour video clip to YouTube. By way of comparison, when I was in LA, I was able to upload the same type of video clip in 7 minutes. So they're definitely hammering me, folks. So please do bear that in mind when checking out the video clips and when sharing the clips. Again, I'm going to be speaking in Brisbane on the 30th of April. It was the 17th, but it's now been changed to the 30th. I'm going to be doing this talk with Ray Broomhall, the barrister who's been manning the action on 5G. I'm not sure whether he's actually going to be there in person or whether he's going to be joining us by Skype, but he is going to be speaking there either way. And so that's something to look out for. We're going to be speaking there on a 5G action summit to hopefully commence some sort of action in Brisbane regarding 5G. I plan on having Ray on the show next week as well. Hopefully that's all going to work out. There's also a very good possibility I'll be speaking on the Gold Coast in August at an event, and I'll keep you posted for that. And I'm also speaking at Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia in September. And there'll be a banner to that on my website. If it's not there by the time this show goes to air, then it will be there very soon after. And you can click that banner and go buy yourself a ticket to Anarchadelphia if you'd like. And you can use the coupon CROWHOUSE and you'll get yourself a discount on that ticket. And I'm looking forward to doing that one, folks. It'll be a good event and I hope to see you there. Thank you again, as always, to all the people who write me so many kind emails. I am getting through them, folks. I am getting to your email. I promise you that. It may take a little time, but I am getting to it. And thank you, thank you, thank you to my Patreon supporters, because as I've said so many times, I could not do any of this work were it not for the support that my Patreon supporters give me. So I cannot thank you enough for allowing me to continue this work and helping this message continue hitting the airwaves. That is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time now. And do, again, please check my channel. Make sure your subscription's holding. Make sure the notification bell is clicked. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In luck, Cash.